morning. Welcome back to the Better Lawns and Gardens from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. Thank you so much. I'm going to get it all out there.
Oh, no. We're in technical difficulties is today. The best thing ever because it totally discombobulates us.
It does. If you missed the last hour, welcome to go back and look at our Facebook page. But also, too, we want you to participate in the pollinator census. So it's the website is gsepc.org, gsepc.org, or just Google Great Southeast Pollinator Census, and you can download everything else. It's time for the dirty word of the day. I can get it out.
And now it's time for the dirty word of the day on Better Lawns and Gardens with Teresa Watkins.
And the dirty word of the day explores one of nature's most fascinating transformations, holeometabolism, also known as complete metamorphosis. Holeometabolism is the process used by many insects, including butterflies, beetles, flies, and bees, to grow from tiny eggs into fully formed adults. Holeometabolism has four distinct life stages: eggs, larva, pupa, and adult. And what makes this type of development so remarkable is that each stage looks and behaves completely different, with its own special job to do. Let's go through the stages. Say it with me if you know. So stage one is the egg. Every insect begins life as an egg. Inside the egg is a simple single cell that divides again and again, forming the beginning of a larva. Some insects lay their eggs directly on a food source so the young have something to eat the moment they hatch. Stage two is the larva. When the egg hatches, out comes the larva. Think caterpillar, grubs, or maggots. Larva doesn't have wings, and their eyes are simple. Their main job is eating and growing. They often look nothing like the adults that they will become. In fact, the difference helps reduce competition. Larva and adults often eat different foods and live in different places. Some insects even have a short extra step called the pre-pupa, which looks similar to the larva, but starts feeding as it prepares for the next big change. Stage three is the pupa. Next comes the pupa, a quiet, non-feeding stage. This is where the magic happens, inside a cocoon or a chrysalis, or sometimes just within a hardened skin. The insect reorganizes its entire body. Wings form, legs change shape, and adult organs develop. Most pupae stay still, but some, like mosquito pupae, can wriggle and move. Stage four is the adult. And if you do crossword puzzles, the word is imago. Finally, the insect emerges as an adult, ready to fly, mate, and lay eggs. Adults usually grow very little after this point. Some don't eat at all. They focus entirely on reproduction. Their traits are built for dispersal and survival, helping them find mates and new places to lay eggs so the cycle can begin again. Holometabolism is one of nature's most successful strategies. By dividing life into specialized stages, insects can grow efficiently, avoid competition, and adapt to many environments. It's a remarkable reminder of how complex even the smallest creatures can be.
Very true.
So the dirty word of the day is holometabolism.
Did anybody else listening, did they automatically just like cringe whenever you said the word maggots?
I was like, I know. I do too. I don't say it very often, maybe once a year or so, but no, I can appreciate that.
They do a good job. I mean,
You don't want them. You don't want to see them in your yard. You don't want to see them in your soil.
No, but in garbage cans. I mean, it's like not your garbage can in your house, obviously.
Yeah.
But I mean, they do what they're supposed to do, but it's just that word. It's like,
do have a job. No, I agree. I agree. But so what's interesting is when we talk about laying their eggs on food sources, that could even be an insect. Like there is a wasp and it's kind of nicknamed the Crypt Keeper, and it lays its eggs on the head of the insect. And when the eggs hatch, they kind of eat that insect out from the inside out. And so it's kind of gross. So, but it's fascinating that they can do that. And we definitely need to depend on them. So that is the four stages, holometabolism. If you missed the first hour, we do want you to participate in the Great Southeast Pollinator Census. You can go to gsepc.org and download the sheets where you can see what you can describe and look at and check off. And they do have a QR code that's very easy to do. So I appreciate that as well. Also, too, if you love to go visit gardens, we would love to have you. If you share a passion for gardening and you love to travel, this Art and Bloom Garden Tours is one of my passions. And in 2027, our intimate small groups, we take very limited group sizes to keep it small so that I can interact with you and, you know, you get to know everybody really nicely. We're going to incredible gardens in the United States and then also United Kingdom and France next year. So whether you're a single traveler or you have celebrating an anniversary, we would love to have you come and we stay in beautiful places, beautiful hotels. We have delicious food and unforgettable experiences. So you can go to artandbloomgardentours.com. And if you have a special garden that is on your bouquet list and you spell bouquet, B-U-C-K-E-T, then you can. We would love to have you come. And so we're doing really well. Most of our tours are filling up very quickly. So we do have a wonderful one for Northerners that's called Florida Spring Break for Gardeners in March. And coming down, if you're in that Chicago area that Jeremy was just at, where it's going to be super cold and you want to come and experience Florida sunshine and beautiful gardens, then you're definitely going to want to see the Florida Spring Break for Gardeners. But we're also going to the Artiste Gardens of France, the iconic Chelsea Flower Show with a afternoon tea at King Charles's home at Highgrove. Lots of other places, Scotland, Buffalo, Newport, North Carolina, fall foliage. Check it out. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. Heather Stickney is a national sales manager at Summit Responsible Solutions. She brings a thoughtful, hands-on approach to supporting Summit Responsible Solution customers. She works closely with garden centers, landscape professionals, and community partners to ensure that they have the tools and knowledge they need with their best products, including mosquito bits and mosquito dunts, which are fast. They're just fantastic. Her genuine commitment to helping people create healthier landscapes is at the heart of her work. So she is joining us today. Good morning, Heather. Thank you so much for coming on.
Good morning, Teresa. Thank you so much for having me.
What's the weather like in Ohio? Is it nice?
It is nice right now. It's cooled off a little bit. Mm-hmm. We've had a lot of rain a little bit further south of where I live, but we're waking up to a pretty day here.
That's wonderful. Well, Summit Responsible Solutions is known for environmentally safe pest management products. What makes Summit's approach the best choice for homeowners who want effective results without harming the environment?
I think, you know, our commitment to providing quality products that offer a lower environmental impact is really at the heart of what we do. If you look at, for example, our mosquito dunks and our mosquito bits, those are products that are toxic only to mosquito larvae, and in the case of bits, also to fungus gnat larvae, but they effectively control mosquito populations without harming anything else. So you can be confident that you're getting a solution that targets the specific problem without doing damage to anything else.
Well, I tell you, so during a recent lakefront consultation I had with a client, I found a really severe no-see-em problem. And I recommended, oh, no, you need to get Summit's mosquito and gnat barrier. And 3 weeks later, when I visited, she was thrilled. She can finally walk outside and enjoy the sunsets on the lake without no-see-ems getting in her hair and her mouth and everywhere else. I mean, so the product works really well.
I'm so glad to hear that. No-see-ems aren't a problem here, but I've experienced them on vacation. And they are not fun.
No, they are not. So with Labor Day approaching and the no-see-ums and all the family outings and cookouts and neighborhood picnics, what are the most common pest issues that people see and encounter when they have these events?
Well, certainly the one that I think of primarily is mosquitoes. Anytime I'm outside, I seem to be a magnet for mosquito bites. Ants are always a problem at picnics or at barbecues. Gnats. Ticks can be problematic. all of the common nuisance pests that you might expect to see.
And so how do you recommend people take care of that? Because they can do something before the event that will make it pest-free for hours and even days.
Sure. So you mentioned our mosquito and gnat barrier. That is an exceptional product to use outside in the lawn or around the lawn to help control things like mosquitoes, ticks, fleas, gnats, all of those common nuisance pests. You simply spray the lawn, allow it to dry, allow the product to dry, and you'll get effective control of those pests for up to 4 weeks.
4 weeks. That's incredible. So if they do it now, they have plenty of time to get it done, and it'll still be working Labor Day weekend.
That is correct. Yes. Yep.
And this is safe for the environment. It's safe for your pets and safe for humans and the children running around. So, I mean, what makes it, I mean, you said that it only affects the larva. So explain a little bit more about your product's ingredient, BT.
BTI is a soil-borne bacterium, and it is essentially only toxic to mosquito larvae. When a mosquito larva, they're filter feeders, they live in water. If you put a dunk or bits in water, the active ingredient releases into the water column, and that larva ingests the active, and it essentially acts as a gut disruptor, so they no longer continue to feed, and they eventually die. But again, because it's a soil-borne bacterium, it's considered a natural product and is actually certified OMRI-listed.
Right, so it's OMRI-listed. Yeah, that's Organic Material Research Institute. Is that what it is?
That is correct,
yeah. Yes. So that's important. I think it's so important for people because we have such a fear of chemicals right now, and yet we do have these natural products, and Summit provides them. What other areas of the yard or products can they use to help their pest problems?
Well, so if consumers are looking specifically for a natural product or an organic product, we make a year-round spray oil that is very effective in controlling a number of soft-bodied pests, including whitefly, anything that might cause damage.
Mm-hmm, to your plants.
To your plants, yes. We also have a neem oil in our product lineup. It is a cold-pressed neem oil. So in addition to acting as a suffocant on insects, mm-hmm. it maintains azadirachtin, which has some beneficial insecticidal properties as well.
I've been recommending, and that's Neem 85, isn't it?
Neem 85, that is correct.
Okay. Yes. And can you explain the cold press process? What does that mean when we're talking about oils?
So if you think about olive oil and how that's extracted, cold-pressed neem is extracted very much the same way. The neem seeds are crushed and pressed, and because they're not treated with solvents, the azadirachtin compound stays with the oil. A lot of neem oils are what you would call hydrophobic extract of neem, so the oil is extracted, but the azadirachtin is not.
Oh.
Cold-pressed neem, because it's just crushed and not treated with solvents, maintains that azadirachtin.
So it's a better product. That's wonderful. So let me go to the dogs, and you mentioned fleas and ticks. So would you spray it in like an area where you're hiking or on yourself, or would you do it in the yard?
If you're talking specifically about our tick and flea spray, mm-hmm. that I would apply primarily to the yard. We do make another product called Green Armor, which is designed to be used as a clothing treatment for gear or for your personal clothing, and that will repel ticks, mosquitoes, chiggers, and mites. So really designed to be more of a personal repellent for your clothing, best used in combination with a DEET product for any exposed skin.
Wow. So that you could spray that on your tent. So for camping, for Labor Day, I'm really concentrating on Labor Day because that's coming up, and that's usually the last family time that people get to, you know, before they go back into the work mode and school mode. And so you can spray the green armor on tents and your bags and your shoes, right?
That is correct. That is correct. You can use it on your nylon chairs. You can use it on your backpacks, your jackets, your hats. Really adds a layer of protection to repelling those pests that might bite and carry disease.
Wow.
You know, we hear more and more in the news about tick-borne disease and mosquito-borne illness. Mm-hmm. So important to keep yourself protected.
That is so true. So I'm really impressed with that because I do like to go hiking, but I hate to do tick checks at the end.
They're just, never fun.
They are never,
fun.
But it's always, you know, one time I was out working in the yard and I came in and I took a bath and here's this tick floating in my bath.
Oh, that's always the scariest thing
yes.
to see. At least he wasn't on you.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
So we do make a product called Tick Take, which is actually a tick removal tool. So if someone were to happen to find a tick that had already embedded, it is a little spoon with a notch in it. You slide it along your skin, and it'll pop that tick right out.
That's a great product. So that's important for Labor Day. We hope everybody will have a pest-free Labor Day. So now you're getting back to your most popular product, which is mosquito bits and dunks. How and your other products, how would people find them? Where are they sold?
They are widely available in local garden centers, hardware stores, farm and ranch stores, big box retail, as well as mass retail.
Mm-hmm.
We also sell product online. So there are a variety of ways people can find the solution that they're looking for.
And they can get it now and be all ready and do all of the work now so that their yard and landscape is all set for Labor Day parties and picnics. That's wonderful. So the website again is what?
It is Summit, S-U-M-M-I-T, responsiblesolutions, that's all one word, .com.
Thank you so much. So, Heather, do you have any plans for Labor Day weekend?
I am planning a very quiet Labor Day weekend. We just got back from a family wedding in Minnesota.
Uh-huh.
So I'm planning a very quiet Labor Day weekend. How
so,
about you?
We are planning a quiet Labor Day. I'm going to a conference next week, so I'll be recovering the next week after that. But so now when you go to these family events, do they say, Heather, bring all your mosquito products with you?
You know, sometimes they do. So I guess, you know, that's the good and bad about being a bug expert. Not anything I ever thought I'd be, but here we are.
Well, thank you so much, Heather. I do appreciate it. Give us the website one more time again.
It is summitresponsiblesolutions.com.
Thank you so much. Have a great Labor Day. Bye-bye.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Heather's so much fun. Can you imagine? Oh, you got to come to our wedding. And will you bring the pest products?
You know what? I mean, I'm just saying. I would have asked.
But I mean, this is just a really great product. It's natural. And it just, the green armor is not organic, but it's a great product to keep the ticks and bugs out of your tent.
Yes, definitely.
And the hiking. And I just think that everybody's outside Labor Day weekend, and it's such a good thing. So I'm glad she came on. So that is wonderful. Do you have any plans for Labor Day?
Let's see. No, absolutely nothing. I don't really want anything to be added to my list. So there you go. What about you?
Well, again, I'm going to a conference next week in Seattle. And so I will be enjoying that. I'll take lots of photographs,
mm-hmm.
Lots of beautiful gardens we're visiting. And Seattle's like Scotland.
Yes.
So it'll be wonderful to see. I've been out there before. And so we will be recovering the following week.
From
Labor Day
weather.
Is September 6th. So we're going to have a great time. Thank you to Heather Stickney for Summit Responsible Solutions. They are a big sponsor of our program, but they're the best. So their products really do work. And Florida, that's important for mosquitoes and for ticks and fleas. So check them out. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. This is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. If you have a gardening question, I would love to talk with you. 1-888-455-2967. Or you can text me 23680, like Linda in Zone 8B. She just texted. She wanted to know if bees lay eggs, and they do in the hive. And so the hive is where all the eggs are laid, and they hatch in the hive, and, you know, it's just a never-ending. The Secret of Bees was just wonderful to watch and seeing all that honey they make.
I'll have to watch that. Definitely.
Yeah, it's on the National Geographic page. So we have Muggsy and from Daytona Beach, and she said a question for Teresa. She says, what do you know about the recent rare Ruggles pawpaw tree discovery here in Central Florida? I was a caretaker of a pawpaw orchard in Ohio, and it would absolutely make my retirement complete if I could grow a native pawpaw here in Florida. Please share your knowledge. Okay, so yes, the Ruggle, I don't know necessarily how to pronounce it, Muggsy, R-U-G-E-L apostrophe S, Ruggles pawpaw, is endemic to only one county in Florida, and that's Volusia County. And it has been found on the D Ranch Preserves, which is in Volusia County. And the soil that they have there is called the Immokalee soil. And it is perfect for growing pawpaws in. And they have planted 40 pawpaw trees there. So what I suggest, Muggsy, is that you join the pawpaw chapter of the Florida Native Plant Society and go to their meetings. And so the next meeting for the pawpaw chapter is September 14th. And it is going to be at the Pigott Community Center in South Daytona, Florida. So I would join them, and they will probably be able to tell you where and how to grow that Ruggles pawpaw tree just so that you can grow them. Yes, pawpaws grow very well here in Florida, but that special type of pawpaw is only found in Volusia County. And so good luck, and I think that they'll be able to help you really well. So that is the pawpaw chapter of the Florida Native Plant Society. Just Google that, and you can go to their meeting on September 14th at the Pigott Community Center in South Daytona. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680, and you can let us know what your question is. So let's go to Michael. Good morning, Michael. How can I help you?
Well, good morning, Teresa. We had a real bad storm last night. We didn't get but 3 inches of rain here in Melbourne Beach, but some of the winds, I believe, were gusting somewhere at maybe 35, 40 miles an hour. And
wow.
I have some 28-inch avocado seedlings that have been doing real well, and they're in 1 gallon pots. They're ready to transfer them to bigger ones, but the pots were blown over, and the seedlings were actually, when they blew over and went down the street over
Oh my goodness, they're going to have avocado trees popping up somewhere. They're going to go,
Where did this come from? Like crabgrass over there, but I can't get them. But anyway, they after the storm, I went out and dug the pots, put new soil in, and put them back in, but I just don't have much faith in the fact. Well, do you think maybe there's a possibility they'll grow again, being outside in the
full sun?
On the beach?
Yeah, no. I think they will. I think you have time.
Oh,
okay, so we've got about September, October, November, December. You've got about 3 months for them to grow. And then what I would do is overwinter them or keep them out as long as it stays nice and warm. And we should have a kind of good, warm El Nino winter.
You do better than the National Weather Service. And then the second part of my question is I had 3 of them on the back wall.
Mm-hmm.
And I have black and dark brown tips on them, and they're the same size. I had them separate because I didn't have room. So they're in the back on the back of the house, full sun, everything's exactly the same.
But they have black tips on them.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so have you fertilized them?
Yes, ma'am. I fertilize them quarterly as per
right.
your instructions.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's fine. So the black tips are usually an indication of a kind of salt burn. So that would come with the fertilizing. So before you fertilize them, just make sure they're really well hydrated. And it could just be from the extreme heat that we've had. So again, just keep the water consistent. You don't have to overwater, but just keep the soil consistently moist.
Yeah, it's just funny because the ones in the front are fine, exactly the same condition, same watering, same fertilizer, and the three in the back. Okay,
well, let me just ask you this, Michael. No, Michael, let me just ask, because I want to delve into this. So are they in the front yard? Are they in your grass area or in a garden area sitting?
They're on the driveway.
And then what are they on in the backyard?
They're on a stem wall that's up about 3 feet.
Okay, so maybe the wall is radiating the heat.
I didn't have any idea. Wow.
So the wall is radiating that heat in the back, so it's getting hotter back there than even your driveway. So you have a little bit more air circulation in the driveway.
Teresa, Lizzie is so darn smart to have you on this radio. I do appreciate the both of you so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye, dear.
All right, bye-bye.
See, we love our listeners like Michael. He calls in, and he just goes, hey, this is Michael from Melbourne. And I just automatically bust out laughing. He's like, I don't have anything funny to say today. And I said, sir, please.
Yeah. So it's, it's just a little bit of just interesting, but microclimates. And so I will be talking about microclimates when I come back. Next week, we have the amazing and most wonderful host emeritus, Tom McCubbin. He's going to be covering next week, so you'll get him here. So everybody who has missed him, he will be back, and you can call in and ask him all your gardening questions.
Yeah, I love y'all's little tag team partnership you guys have. That is like the best, because it's like,
I love it.
It's not, I never, never, never do I ever hear or see on the text line go, we sure wish Teresa would come back. Or we don't, we don't really like Tom. We don't ever hear any of that.
No,
it's like,
no,
everybody's
Tom
like,
is wonderful.
It's 100%. It's like, yeah, Teresa's here. And it's like, yeah, Tom's here. Yeah. So
Everything I know is from Tom. So Tom is wonderful. And we're cousins. So the apple doesn't fall far from the tree there.
Sweet.
Yeah, I love that. So, if it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. This is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. We have a few more minutes for your phone calls in this last segment. 1-888-455-2967. Or you can text 23680. What kind of vegetables can you be planting right now? Well, you could be doing cantaloupe and collards and corn and cucumbers and eggplants, lima beans and okra, pepper and pumpkins, snap beans and southern peas, squash, tomatoes, and watermelon. Speaking of watermelon, I'd like to get an update on those hanging watermelons if you open them up, or if he's just going to wait till Labor Day weekend and eat it then. So if you're listening, let us know what your watermelon's doing. Flowers. Look at all the beautiful flowers blooming right now. Plumbago is doing amazing. Angelonias and begonias. And, I got 3 new angel wing begonias yesterday.
Ooh.
They're gorgeous. They're absolutely gorgeous. I'll be posting photos, and they're new ones.
Took your breath away. Wow.
I know they did. I was very excited about it. So chrysanthemums and coleuses. Coleuses are the hardest working annuals. They're a beautiful, here in Florida, they can last several years. And they just need cutting the flowers off if you don't want to go to seed. And but their colors are yellows and oranges and reds and burgundies and chartreuse. And they are a great perennial to put into containers. I just did 4 containers for a client in Kissimmee, and they just, they looked wonderful. And I added coleuses to the side, and then Lemondra Platinum Beauties, which kind of look like Aztec grasses, but they're bigger, and they're hardier, and they don't, they do better. I like them better. And then put Firebush in the middle. Ooh. And it's a great pollinator container, and also, you know, for hummingbirds and butterflies. So where was I? Black-eyed Susans, Blue Days. Blue Days is another hard worker. Butterfly weed and bush daisies, cat whiskers and chrysanthemums, coreopsis and chrysandra, fire spikes. Fire spikes are great to plant. They bloom more in the wintertime, but they're a good one to have. Garas, whirling butterflies. You can't get a better plant that kind of waves in the wind, gives you motion in the garden. It looks like fluttering butterflies, but they're hot pink or white. A really good addition to a container garden or to a flower bed. Cat whiskers, I mentioned that. Then also golden globes, heliconias, great tropical plants. Heliconias, and if you don't want to overplant those, because if you get one, you're going to get 10. So they're a really good plant to put for coverage for a mass planting, but you only have to have like 3 to 5. And then by the end of the summer, you have, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10. The next year, you have 20, 30. And so they're a great plant that multiplies very easily. Jacobinias and impatiens. New Guinea impatiens take the full sun. They're doing really well. Lantana, great butterfly plant.
Yes.
And then also marigolds are really gorgeous. Melampodiums, moonflowers. Have you ever grown moonflowers?
I don't think so.
I'm going to have to bring you moonflowers. Moonflowers are a wonderful vine that you soak the seed and you kind of scarify it a little bit. And then you put it in the ground. It comes up. It goes up a trellis, wonderful, or an obelisk. It gives you height in the garden. But it's very fragrant. And it looks like the moon. It gets a big platter, tubular flower. It is wonderful. Oh. It literally will open right before your eyes. You actually see it shaking. And I used to sit my kids in front of it, and I'd torture them. And I'd say, okay, just sit here. Sit here and watch this. And they'd be going, oh. And then it would the bloom would start to unfold, and their eyes would get really big. And
okay, that's really cool.
Yeah, it's a great plant for you know, if you have children. The pentas are always good. I like the solid color ones. The ones with the white centers I don't like. Periwinkle, porterweed is a hard worker. Portulaca and purslanes are always great, especially their succulents, and they do well. Salvias, so many beautiful salvias that you could have in your garden. Stokes aster and sunflowers. How's your sunflowers doing?
Okay, so I got finally a week and a half ago, I got all of my seeds in. I mean, when I'm talking like thousands, I probably put in about maybe 10,000 seeds.
Wow. Okay. Same kind?
No, the variety of the color. So I created like a U-shaped wall, and row after row after row. And then I planted some daisies and the seeds, and along with some wildflowers up front. So we're going to try, please, dear God. We're going to try to do photo shoots with this as our background on our property.
Yes.
Okay. So what I did is I went ahead and I had already ordered my frost blankets from, you know,
Good move.
Yes. And if you haven't bought your frost blankets, get them now. Stop playing these games, people. I don't want to hear anybody or read anything on the text in 3 to 6 months when we get, you know, the tundra, the frozen tundra through Florida, okay, that y'all can't find them. So go order your frost blankets. Anyway, so I ordered a bunch of those, and I'm like, okay, because we have squirrels, we have turkeys, we have this, we have that, and everything that loves seeds, right?
Yeah.
So I plant them after I soaked the ground, and then I put the frost cloth over it, and I did the little, what's it like the yard staples?
Yes,
the metal staples around the entire thing.
To hold it down.
Yep, and also kind of keep the dogs from playing in it.
Yes.
And within 3 to 4 days, they had already started sprouting, and within 6 days, they had already pushed up the frost cloth.
Oh my goodness, that's
so I prayed and I uncovered
it off.
And every day I'm praying, I'm like, please, dear God, please, this is going to be so much fun for the family. Just please keep everything evil away from this. So far, I mean, they're like probably about 4 inches tall.
Oh, that's wonderful. So when my cousin was here last week, I sent him home with sunflowers for all of my family in County Donegal. Aww. And the Glentees Garden Club.
Aww.
So I sent them that because they do have sunflowers there, but, you know, sunflowers from America.
Yes.
You know, because that's, you know, that was one of the mentions for choices for being our national flower. Of course, rose is our national flower. Yeah. But they did try and get sunflowers.
What makes me even more happy. Okay. So I have this year out of nowhere, the beginning of the year, I ended up growing inadvertently sunflower, what I call sunflower trees. So they've got the different branches
yes.
that actually pop all kinds of, I haven't seen that in forever. So, yes. So we ended up mowing it over with our tractor and tilling. And now I've got 15 of these just from the one. So I'm kind of excited because that's my whole purpose is that when we go to till this area again for the next year after
all
this.
All the seeds will fall.
All the seeds
now, do you eat sunflower seeds or do you leave them for the birds?
I leave them for the birds usually and the turkeys because that's like meth for them. They absolutely love you. When get a turkey to do something for you, you just have to have some black oil sunflower seeds and they will be like, yes, please, more. So, but yeah, so I'm like excited about this adventure. So I'm
excellent.
Yes.
That's good. Well, I think I want to see pictures.
Yes.
And we definitely will. But, you know, take them in the stages so we can put them in the newsletter. I promise the newsletter is coming out.
Okay. Everyone of our listeners have been texting me again, where's the newsletter? I haven't seen it since blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, look, this woman is a mover and a shaker. She's very busy.
I need help. So that I have so much on my plate. And speaking of sunflower plates, but also you could be planting terrenias and zinnias. Did you plant any zinnias?
Yes, I did.
Okay, those are great. Beautiful. Those are beautiful.
They came up yet.
Well, there you go. So it is hot. Enjoy your gardens now. You don't have to work so hard in it. But if you do have weeds, just look at every day. Just pulling the weeds out will make your job so much easier. This is the time of the year to make sure weeds do not take over. Because
yes.
What's going to happen is these are the summer weeds. And if they go to seed, they go to flower and go to seed, they're going to disappear and you're going to think, oh, I have no more weeds. But then they're going to come back next year.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's time for the winter weeds to come. We want to make sure you don't need to do anything right now. Don't go buy anything or don't put anything out. We want to put, you know, any kind of weed preventative out October 1st at the end of September. You can do that. And that will be good. Right now, you don't want to use it because the ground is too hot and the chemicals are so strong. They're not going to kill the weeds. The weeds are stronger than the chemical, but the chemical will damage your lawn and your plants. So you want to be very careful. This is not the time to do it.
Yes.
You don't want to use herbicides in temperatures over 85 degrees. And if you read the label, most people would know that. You know,
read
the label. I know it says do not use in temperatures over 85 degrees. So herbs, I mentioned bulbs and flowers and vegetables. Herbs, of course, you can be planting. This is the time to get them so you can use them for your Thanksgiving meal. Anise and basil, bay, laurel, chives and dill, ginger, lemon balm, Mexican tarragon, mint, oregano, rosemary, sage, sweet marjoram, and thyme. And let me just say this. If you'd like me to speak to your group or organization, I'd be happy to do it. I get booked up ahead of time. So you want to make sure that just email me at teresa.watkins@live.com. We want to say a big thank you to Heather Stickney with Summit Responsible Solutions. We do appreciate their sponsorship, but they are a great product, and we're proud to have them on here.
And a happy birthday to Dana Vinrick.
Dana, happy birthday. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
You can recap this show and all of our other episodes at betterlawns.com. That's betterlawns.com.